visit with our parents, and we had a good visit, and I got to see a sister, Soriano, while I was up there, and visit with her, and that was a nice visit, and so, but it's always good to be back home. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the Lord with the scripture. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, here this morning. Lord, we ask, God, that you would be with us. And Father, in this portion of the service, dear God, as we yield ourselves to you and under your anointing, Father, for you to bring the word, Lord, to be uplifting and be a help to the people. I pray, dear God, that you'll bless them with your word now this morning. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1. I want to begin reading at verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael, saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You may be seated. What I'd like to speak on this morning is, in whom is no guile? In whom is no guile? The word guile, or to be without guile, means to be free of deceit, free of cunning, free of hypocrisy, free of dishonesty. It means to be without anything false. And also then the word, a word that also is associated with, is the word beguile, which is to deceive or lead astray, as Lucifer beguiled Eve in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says the serpent was the most subtle beast of the field. And then he came to Eve, and when he came to Eve, he was full of guile. He was full of the devil. Lucifer had come down and stepped into the serpent, and there was a voice behind the serpent's voice, which was the voice of Lucifer. That's why it was Lucifer that actually beguiled her. He was the one that deceived her, but he used the serpent as a vessel to do it. And the reason he used a serpent is because, as we know, it was the closest thing to man. He couldn't use Adam. He couldn't deceive Adam, but he could use the serpent to come down and deceive Eve. And so the serpent, you realize when he came, he didn't start by just saying lies. He started with the truth. Has not God said you can eat of every tree of the garden? He was using direct quotes. He does the same thing today. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. The devil can quote this message better than you can. But he's selective over which quotes he wants to use. And by that is how he's deceiving the people. Because the people are being beguiled by Lucifer again today, just like Eve was. But I got news for you. Brother Branham said that this second Eve, this true bride, she cannot be deceived. And he said she'll not spoil her skirts of purity as the first Eve did. So it's impossible to deceive the elect, the Bible tells us. So evidently, those that are being deceived are not the elect. I'm not preaching down on anyone. I'm just speaking the truth. And Satan is beguiling people today and using quotes of the message to do it. Look, friends, he's already got the denominations. He's already beguiled them. He beguiled Rome way back. He beguiled the denominations and caused them to form denominations and organize. That was their deceit. But now he's beguiling people who say, I believe God sent a prophet. And he's using the words of the prophet to beguile them. Just like the serpent used the words of God to beguile Eve. Didn't Brother Branham say that I no longer call you church, I call you bride? Doesn't that mean we're not supposed to go to church anymore?
Come on now.
Yeah. He's using quotes from the message to beguile the people today. I think we want someone like what Jesus spoke to Nathanael, someone in whom there is no guile. Someone who's not out to deceive us. But someone who's there to preach to us the unadulterated word of God, the truth. You see, if Eve would have listened to her husband, if Eve would have listened to her pastor, she would have never even gave the serpent the time of day. But where she made her mistake was, she began to communicate with him. That's where we make our mistakes many times and our failures. Is when the devil comes to talk to us, we start to listen. Don't listen to what he's got to say. Well, look at how you are now. What's happened to your work? What's happened to your job? You're a failure. That's the devil. Don't give him the time of the day. Don't listen to him. Because he's just out to try to confuse you. That's what he did with Eve. She said, oh yeah, we can eat of every tree of the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the day we eat thereof, that day we'll die. Surely you'll not die. And Eve started to scratch her head. Well, maybe you got something there. For he knows that in the day you eat thereof, you'll become as gods. You might have a point there. Why is it that he doesn't want us to eat of that tree? I mean, why did he put it here? If he didn't want us to eat of it, then why is it there? You'd think if he didn't want us to have something like that, he wouldn't put the temptation around. But it wasn't God that come and tempted him. It was the devil. And then the woman enticed the man. Brother Branham said the serpent enticed Eve or deceived Eve by his beauty. And that's what Satan uses today many times. It's what he's used to deceive the Catholic Church. It's what he's used to deceive many denominations, beauty. It's what he uses to deceive men today, beauty. God come walking through the garden, couldn't find Adam and Eve. Friends, he knew right where they were. He knew they were hiding. That's why he called out to them. He said, we hid ourselves, for we are naked. He said, who told you you were naked? The man said, that woman you gave me, she deceived me. She said, the serpent beguiled me. The serpent deceived me. God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Friends, if he was already a snake, and he was already crawling on his belly, this wouldn't be much of a curse, would it? It wouldn't be a curse at all. The Bible didn't say he was the most subtle reptile, and there were reptiles. God created them. Where do you think alligators came from? But he changed the serpent from a beast to a reptile. Brother Branham says they're looking for the missing link. The closest thing they can find is a chimpanzee. And they try to teach him sign language, and they try to teach him to do different things, you know, and they can teach him, Brother Branham said, to tip his hat and all this stuff. He said, but that's no more than gi or haul to a horse. They're just teaching an animal to do certain tricks. Certain associations. Friends, you can teach dogs to do certain associations. Did you know you can teach dogs hand signals? I was at the vet here about a month or so ago, taking one of my little dogs up there, and there was a lady who came in there, and she had a little miniature Australian Shepherd, and it was the product of two Merle dogs, so it was going blind, but it could still see, but it couldn't hear. It was deaf. That's what it was. It was deaf. It was mostly white, and it was deaf. So she used hand signals to communicate with this dog. And she had to be kind of close to it so it could see her. But she used hand signals to tell this dog to sit, to tell this dog, you know, different things. She'd done it right there in the vet's office. And so you can teach dogs to do that. But they're not going to find that missing link because God changed it. The closest thing to mankind was the serpent. And God changed it so much, there's no bones to dig up. There's nothing that the paleontologists can do because there ain't nothing for them to find. They can dig up dinosaur bones and put them together and tell you from what time period it came from and all these things, but they can't find that missing link between man and animal. Right. Then we see that Cain was the product of this beguiling. Cain had the nature of the serpent. Cain had the nature of his father. Nature over nurture. Friends, Brother Branham speaks, he says, you can take a pig and bring them in and clean them up, give them a bath, clean them up, make them all spit and spot and shiny. But the first chance it gets, it'll run right back out there to the mud hole because that's its nature. You can bring in a person, you can set them in church, you can dress them different, you can clean them up, you can all manner of things, get them looking real holy and real Christ-like. But the first chance they get, if they're of that nature, they'll run right back to the old mud hole. And that's why they do run back, because it's their nature. You can baby them and pamper them like a hothouse plant. But it ain't going to do anything. It ain't going to do no good. You're just wasting your time. Heard Brother Biscoe say one time, he said, I pray, God help me not to waste my time with people who are serpent seed. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 2 and 3. Paul writes, for I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Being a Christian, it's simple. You surrender your life to God. It's not hard. People make it hard. They make it about do's and don'ts. They make it about rules and regulations. But that's not what it's about. It's about just giving up. Surrendering to the Lord. Letting Him come and fill you with His Spirit. Then there won't be no struggle. Oh, you'll have temptations because we live in this fallen state that we're in, this body. So we're not going to be free of temptations. We're not going to be free of mistakes. But we're not going to have to struggle to live right. It isn't going to be, well, I guess I better go to church because I, you know, that's what I should do. I have to. Should go because there's a desire in our heart to go. Because there's a desire in our heart not to come to a building, not to come and socialize with people, but to come and fellowship with the presence of the Lord. As the serpent beguiled Eve, that our minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Brother Branham says, how many men of corrupt mind and so forth have come in and beguiled the people away from the real things of God? Well, you know, he can't beguile us away believe in miracles, that God does miracles. Oh, we believe that. He doesn't try to beguile us message people away from can he heal the sick. We believe that. But he tries to beguile the people away from real true worship. Moses was instructed, you know, when there was serpents came in among the people of Israel, and they begin to poisonous snakes. And God instructed Moses, said, take a brass serpent. Make a brass serpent and put it up on a pole. And when the people get bitten, if they'll just look to that brass serpent, then they'll be all right. What that brass serpent represented was the serpent represented sin in the garden, the original sin. And being made of brass, it represented judgment. That sin had already been judged. And so therefore, it was already testifying that the power of the serpent was going to be taken, the power of sin over men. It was something simple. There was a simplicity about it. Look and believe. That's it. It isn't changed. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Look and live. It's still that simple. Brother Branham was praying for a man who had tuberculosis. He said, you believe if I ask God, he'll heal you of this tuberculosis? Dear God, you who can make the deaf hear, the blind see, and the dumb speak, you can heal our brother of this tuberculosis. I pray, Father, that you'll grant it. May he leave in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, my brother. Now look, here's what it is the simplicity of prayer. The simplicity of prayer is your faith. It isn't a long prayer. It's your faith that does it. Amen. That's the simplicity of prayer, your faith. Now, I need to have faith to believe that I can pray for somebody and they'll get healed. But I can have all the faith that I want if the person I'm praying for doesn't have any faith that they'll be healed. They're not going to be healed. So simplicity of prayer is your faith. Simplicity. Paul says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom. The message of this hour didn't come with enticing words of men's wisdom. God didn't select somebody who had a bunch of letters behind his name. DDS and LD and whatever and so forth and PhD. No, it was somebody that was considered illiterate. It was somebody that didn't have much education. It was a simple person, a humble person. Just a little hillbilly from Kentucky. But he didn't come with enticing words. But as Paul said, through the demonstration of the Spirit and power. God vindicated the prophet. He vindicated his message. Now we've got those that have rose up. Beguile the people away from the message. Well, you know that thing down there, Brother Branham said that vision he had of the bridge and the people dying, all that didn't happen. You know that thing with Brother Branham being caught up in the cloud and all that didn't happen. And they search out this and they search out that to try to prove that it didn't happen. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Nobody who's born again could be deceived by that. And no preacher that is going around saying these things about the message was ever born again. I don't care how holy they was. I don't care how good of a speaker they were. I don't care how anointed they may have seemed. You ever heard the message, false anointed ones at the end time? They were false anointed ones. They were anointed. And friends, they did just like the serpent. They began by preaching the message. But then they begin to say, well, you know, it didn't really mean this or that. This and that didn't happen. We're no longer going to be called a message church. I'm not afraid of being deceived. But I don't want to listen to the serpent either. Friends, look. I'm not afraid that if I read something about the LGBT or whatever it is, I'm not afraid all of a sudden I'll change my mind and get deceived by that. Because I know what the word says about it. But I don't want to give them the time to listen to what they got to say. It's a waste of my time. Just like I don't want to waste my time by hearing somebody say, God doesn't perform miracles anymore. There ain't no such thing as receiving the Holy Ghost anymore. That was just for the apostles. You don't want to hear that, do you? Well, I don't want to hear these ones that are saying this and that and whatever didn't happen and trying to beguile people away from the message of the hour. Amen. Why? Because I know that it was that word that spoke to me and brought something alive in my soul. It wasn't these men that gave it to me. And they can't take it away. It was Almighty God that did it.
Yes, He did. Praise the Lord.
Let me know that I was an elect from the beginning. Let me know I was a son of God. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Come on. Amen.
Praise God. That we should henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
That's right, brother. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, Christ preached the way of simplicity will stir the people because it's the power of God. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. When Christ is preached in simplicity, yet in its power, it will stir the people, the Christ of the living God being brought to reality to the people. Friends, it's been made a reality to me.
Lord.
It's just like you couldn't tell me that I don't breathe oxygen. It's a reality to me.
Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Just like you couldn't tell me fire don't burn. It's a reality to me. I've been on fire before. It ain't fun. You catch on fire, I'm going to tell you this, they put the fire out and your skin's still burning. It's a reality. And God's been made a reality to me. God's been made a reality to you. This message has been made a reality. We have saw it change lives. We have saw it do what nothing else can do. We've saw people born again by this word. But Brother Branham said false teachers brings false births. And that's what's happened. There was, friends, there was a time back in the 80s where everybody was running around saying, I'm born again. You young ones that was born in the 90s and so forth, you wouldn't know this. But back in the 80s, there was, what was it, Jim Baker and Tammy Faye. And they were talking about being born again.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, Jim Baker's having an affair with his secretary. Still claiming to be born again. Tammy Faye was out there crying with makeup smeared and running down her face. I remember people wearing t-shirts, had makeup look like smeared all over the front, and said, I ran into Tammy Faye at the mall. Claiming to be born again. Well, there's been a lot of preachers that claim this message and claim to be born again that have walked away from this message. They were never born again. They were false teachers and they brought false births to people. People walking around being deceived by a strong delusion, believing a lie, and that lie they believe has damned them. Because Brother Branham says they believe they're right. Brother Branham said you couldn't go out and find a woman that wearing the shorts and speaking in tongues and try to convince her she ain't got the Holy Ghost. Why? Because she believes that delusion that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of having the Holy Ghost. It's the truth. Well, you couldn't convince these people that they're wrong. They believe they're right. Why? Because they've been given over to that. God's gave them over. And they've been deceived from the simplicity that is in Christ. They've been beguiled. Brother Branham said, what we need today is old-fashioned, simple gospel, Holy Ghost power preached in simplicity.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir. We read about Philip going to Nathanael. Nathanael, what Jesus was saying was there was nothing false about Nathanael. An Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. There's nothing false. There's nothing put on. Nathanael wasn't putting on any airs. He was just being what he was, being who he was. He wasn't going around acting all holy. You know, sometimes I get around different people, they don't know me. And then the first thing you know, they ask, what do you do? You know, what's your work? What's your line of work? Well, I pastor a church. All of a sudden, they get all religious and holy. What are they doing? They're putting on something that they're not. As Brother Branham quoted, Congressman Upshaw said, you can't be nothing you ain't. Just be yourself, Brother Branham said. Nathanael said, what good can come from Nazareth? He was just being himself. Nothing false. Philip said, come and see. Nathanael said, well, I guess I will. I'll go see. I've got to see this. You're saying something good come out of Nazareth? This I gotta see. And he seen it. And friends, when Jesus spoke to him, what did it do? Was it because he told him, before Philip called you, you're in the fig tree, I saw you. It awoke something in here. Something came to life. Just like it did in Peter when he said, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Anytime he spoke, it brought, if there was an elect seed laying in that vessel, it brought it to life.
Amen.
Go get your husband. I have no husband. You've had five, and the one you're with now is not yours. Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. And then she asked him a spiritual question. Our fathers say to go worship in this mountain, and the Jews say go worship down in Jerusalem. What do you say? He said, the day is coming and now is when you shall worship him in spirit and in truth. She ran into the village and said, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. Is this not the Messiah? It woke something in her. Down in a little ill-famed woman, something woke up. People, you know, are always saying, well, God don't look at the outside. And they're right. When he went down and talked to that woman, he wasn't looking at her outside things. He wasn't looking at the type of human being that she was. But he knew there was a seed laying in there that needed to come to life. And when that seed come to life, it changed that woman completely. She no longer was going around with different men. It changed the way she looked on the outside. Because the inside was changed. Why does a prostitute dress the way she does? Because something on the inside is being reflected on the outside. But if there's a seed of God in there and you let that seed come to life, she ain't going to go around dressed like some prostitute anymore. Because that desire is going to be gone. The outside will reflect. Once the inside's been changed, it'll reflect that change. Before that, it's reflecting the nature of the world. But once that nature's been changed, that seed comes to life, it'll change the outside appearance too. He never said that Nathanael was sinless. That's not what having no guile means. It doesn't mean sinless. It doesn't mean mistake free. It means without deceit. Without putting on airs, as you'd say down here. I think about the Pharisee and the publican that came into the temple that Jesus was talking about. And the publican, you know, the Pharisee came in and he said, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. I give tithing, I do all these things, you know, I pray, I fast. And I thank you, I'm not like this publican over here. You know what a publican was? It was a tax collector. It was an Israelite who collected taxes for Rome. So this Israelite was looked down on by the other Israelites that they were taxing. They were looked to be betrayers, betraying their own people because they were collecting taxes for Rome. That's what Matthew was when Jesus called him. But this publican, the Bible says he wouldn't even as much as lift his eyes up. But he smote his chest and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Which one was without guile? The Pharisee was steeped with self-deception and guile. I've seen a lot of people try to justify themselves like the Pharisee did. Well, I'm not like them. But are you like him? You might be better than that person. But are you worthy of him? Is your life worthy of the gospel? Sincerity, openness, simplicity of speech, not like the publican, he didn't wish to appear anything other than what he actually was before God and before man. That showed he had no guile. You know, when they used to make towns back in the Old West, they would make these big, tall fronts on the buildings, and the buildings weren't really that big. They called them false fronts. There's a lot of false front Christians. They look like one thing out here, but they're living something else back there. Without guile. You remember when Saul, King Saul, was told to, by God through Samuel, to go down and slay those, that enemy. And said, slay them all. Leave nothing. Even cattle and livestock. Slay them all. Saul come back and said, I have done all that the Lord has commanded. That was full of guile. That was full of deceit. What made him think he could deceive Samuel? Just like many of people, they get to look at, well, he's just a man. Yeah, but he happens to be a man called of God. A man that God speaks to. But you know what? In this particular case, according to what the Bible says, Samuel did not even need God to come down and say, Samuel, he didn't do it. He said, if you've kept all the words of the Lord, then what is that lowing of the ox I hear? What is that bleating of the sheep I hear? Oh, that. Well, you see, it was the people. They wanted to sacrifice, so we kept the best of the cattle and the sheep and livestock and that, so we could sacrifice to Jehovah. He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Why do you got this king here? What's he doing standing here alive? Samuel reached over and took Saul's sword and cut the king's head off. He said, this day has God rent the kingdom from your hands. He said, he would have established your kingdom forever. But now he has turned to a man after his own heart. And he's going to establish his kingdom forever. And he's made him captain over the people. Why? There wasn't no guile in David. Remember the time David came out there and that Philistine Goliath was standing out there challenging the armies of God? Saul said, here, put this on. Put on my helmet. Put on my breastplate. And take my sword and that. And David said, this ain't me. This is a put on. I'm not trained in these things. It wouldn't do me no good to do this. I ain't going to scare nobody. Brother Bram says, you can't bluff a bluffer. Don't try to bluff the devil, because he's a bluffer. He said, no. I'm going out there to to slay him the same way I did the lion and the same way I did the bear. I'm going out there, and who is this enemy to defile the armies of the living God? Remember, Goliath laughed. You send a boy out here? While I'll put him on my spear and feed his carcass to the birds. While he was saying that, David was winding up. Let's see if you can catch this, you devil. Say, David was good with a sling. Yeah, he was. But it was also the power of God that was behind that stone. Hit that giant square in the head and killed him. A rock. Not a boulder. A rock. There was some power behind that. I believe it was some almighty power behind it. David wasn't putting on anything. He used the simplicity of God, of what God had given him. Hallelujah. David writes, "Blessed is the man in whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile." Blessed is the man who's free of deceit, whose iniquity God doesn't count against him. Sure, have you ever done anything you know you shouldn't have done? Sure you have. That was sin. That was iniquity. But afterwards, did you feel that thing, you know, that kind of like just made you feel horrible? And you couldn't have no peace until you went and made that right? Look, Brother Branham knew it wasn't right to lie. He knew it wasn't right to deceive. But he said, "Tell the tax man I'm not in here. Tell him I'm not here." And he walked outside. Technically, he wasn't there. But truthfully, he was there. He could have took the call. But something smote him. He's going to go down there and pray for that child. Spirit spoke to him and said, "Take your hands off that child." He said, "I'll be right back. I've got to go do something first." He went back and called that taxman up and he told him what he'd done. And he said, "I respect you more now than I did before." Brother Branham said, "I've made many mistakes. I still make them. We'll always make them. But when I make them, the Holy Spirit tells me that's wrong. Then I repent right there. Lord, forgive me. Didn't mean to do it. You help me now." And no sooner than it comes out of my lips, if we confess our sins, he is just to forgive them. He said, "I got a lot of respect for a man that'll make a mistake, and then he's got the courage enough to rise and try again. We're all going to make mistakes. The best makes mistakes. A soldier's not one that'll lay down when he's knocked down, but he'll raise up again. made many mistakes in my life, as we all have, but I've always been thankful to God for the grace to let me rise and try again. Hallelujah. We know we make mistakes, but you mustn't look at that. It's not your mistakes, because you're always going to have them. Stumbling and falling doesn't have one thing to do with it. A real servant of God, if he stumbles, he'll get up again. If he wobbles, God pulls him right back on the path. As long as he's in the path of duty, God's obligated to him, knowing that he's just a man or a woman. So being without guile is not being free of mistakes, but just be yourself. You know, you've always got those people you run into. They're just watching to find something where they can say, "I thought you were a Christian." Like all of a sudden, they've become this great authority on what Christians can and can't do. Say, "I thought you were a sinner. I thought you were okay with going to hell." I bet they wouldn't like that much. Brother Branham says, "Deliver me." Let me just go back. Brother Branham is talking here. He says, it's in the Message of Pride, 1955. He said, "I love good old-fashioned Pentecostal singing." That's right. Where you forget the pan and organ, where you get down to some kind of, you get out of some kind of ritualistic put-on program, where you raise your hand with tears running down your cheeks, whether you sing "Do Re Mi Fa Sol La Ti Do" or not, just sing it in the spirit. From the heart, you give praise to God all out of the program. You have to get out of man's program and get into God's program. Oh my, deliver me from being an actor. Be what you are. God will bless you. You even down, seems sometimes ministers will do that. They'll get in the pulpit and make their voice real big and say, "Now I have received my degree." Like it's going to run shivers over you. I feel sorry for them. People don't appreciate that. Just be yourself. People will appreciate you more. Don't you believe that? Just be old plain sassafras, hickory, smoked ham, sorghum, molasses. If it'll do you good if you won't put on. Elijah was a man with no guile. Went up there, challenged those prophets of Baal. Said, if Baal be God, let's prove who's God. If Baal be God, let him come down and consume your sacrifice with fire. And if Jehovah be God, then let him come down and consume my sacrifice with fire. Wasn't nothing, no guile here. Elijah knew what he was speaking. He wasn't trying to trick them. But they were full of guile. They had deceived and were deceiving the people into believing in a God called Baal. Deceiving them into thinking this is a real God. They were sent there to deceive Israel. After Israel had Saul, down through the ages, they had saw the miracles of God, Jehovah. They had saw these things. Their ancestors had witnessed them. They were being deceived. They began to pray, these prophets. No fire came. Elijah said, "Maybe your God has gone on a long journey and he can't hear you. So they cried all the louder. See, they were deceived themselves. They began to cut themselves. And all manner of things. No fire came. Elijah said, bring water and pour on my sacrifice. They poured water on. He said, dig a trench around it. The trench filled up with water. The sacrifice was soaked with water. Then Elijah prayed, and fire fell down out of heaven, evaporated up the water, licked the water up out of the trench, burnt the sacrifice and the altar. Then Elijah took a sword and cut off the heads of those prophets. I've often wondered about that. You know, it was 400 of them. What was number 399 thinking? Why did he keep standing there? 398 had done had their heads cut off. And there's only me and him left. What do you think's going to happen to us? But they were still so deceived. They must not even been paying attention to one another anymore. They couldn't believe what had happened and what didn't happen. They were so confused, they just stood there and let their heads be cut off. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to lust passions as we are. Elijah wasn't no different than any other man, other than he was called of God for a work. But he was human. He wasn't different than other humans. After that, he got scared and ran because Jezebel said she was going to take his head off the way he had took off the heads of her prophets. So he ran and hid himself. And then he got depressed. And God sent the birds of heaven down to take care of him and feed him, and angels come down to comfort him. He was all down in the dumps. There was nothing false about him. Nothing put on. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah made mistakes, but he was considered a righteous man. And the prayer of a righteous man, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, availeth much. Subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Let love be with all without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. Don't be anything you ain't. Don't put on. Just be yourself. You know what? If you're born again, that's all you got to do is just be yourself. I've had people, you know, that aren't used to being around me And they know I'm a pastor, you know I'm a preacher. I'm talking to even believers sometimes. And they don't know exactly how should they act. Just act yourself. I'm myself. You don't got to go around acting all holy and pious. You don't got to see if you can impress me by what you know. I'm not going to try to impress you by what I know. I'm not going to get you out here and preach to you. I do that here. Just act yourself. Nothing falls. And you know what? It's all because of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. That's what's amazing about it. Is that we're humans, subject to mistakes, subject to faults. The Bible said, confess your faults one to another. We're subject to faults. That's what's so amazing about grace. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you now this morning. And we're thankful, Lord, for the word that's come forth, Lord, and for what you've spoke to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you touch the people, Lord, that you'll bless them with the word as they go their separate ways today. And I pray, dear God, those that weren't able to be here, Lord, maybe some were out of town, maybe some were sick, I don't know. Lord, you know, and I pray that you'll touch them, Lord. And we ask God to be with those that had to go somewhere and bring them back safely, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.